You may be seated. And I present to you Christ's messenger to us today, Meredith Joubert. Welcome, Meredith, and thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. So I got a little feedback, unexpected feedback, after the 8 o'clock service, and it was that I didn't say enough about myself. And so that really surprised me because I didn't think you would want to hear me talk about me, but I think people just wanted to hear a little bit about my story and kind of where I am today and why I feel like maybe I want to take the next step within the church. And so just a little background on me. Like many of you, I grew up in the Methodist Church. I did the whole thing, the children's sermon down front with Miss Julie and Sunday school with Mrs. Means and confirmation. And I was an acolyte back when acolytes had to sit beside the pastor through the whole service. And then when I went to college, instead of pledging a Greek sorority, I pledged in a Christian sorority, which is a national organization, just doesn't exist in Arizona, unfortunately. And during that time, I really felt conflicted because I felt like God could never use a person like me. I am very introverted. Believe it or not, I'm really quiet. I like to be behind the scenes of everything, and I never felt like I was on fire, you know, for Jesus the way a lot of my sorority sisters were, and therefore God couldn't use me. And so I went into therapy. I became a marriage and family therapist, did that for a while, and then I became a psychology instructor, taught on campus, taught online classes, had my 4 kids, and all of that was wonderful, and I loved each one of those things that I did, but there was always something that just wasn't right. There was always a part of myself that I just couldn't share in those roles. And through my work here at St. Paul's, I feel like all of these dots in my life have kind of connected to lead me right here unexpectedly. But then when I look back, I go, wow, that really makes sense. And there's just pieces of me that I felt like have been missing that are now full. And so my hope, I think, is possibly to become a deacon. I feel so passionate about that. Within the Methodist Church, deacons are able to continue working in ministry with their community and outreach to the neighborhoods. And that's my passion, moms and families and people and bringing us all together. That is what I love to do. And now I realize God can use the quiet person, and maybe it just looks differently than I ever imagined. And so that's a little about me, my background. And like I said, I grew up in the Methodist Church. If you guys would like to follow along in your pew Bible, today we're going to be in the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 9, and I am going to refer to specific verses throughout. But I grew up in the Methodist Church, but I'm going to be honest, I think I must not have paid very good attention all of that time to my Sunday school teachers and in confirmation class, because my knowledge of the Bible is not always where it should be for someone who has spent so much of her life in the church. I know the stories, but I don't always remember the details. You know, I hear everyone going, yeah, that's me too. You know, I remember the story, but not the names or the significance of what happened. And so when the kids were learning about Saul and his transformation into Paul in Sunday school, I was really grateful for that opportunity to re-remember Saul's story along with them. And so for those of you who are like me and may also not remember, I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version of Saul's story. So like most people in that time, Saul was a Jew, but he was a not very good guy. He didn't like the people who believed in Jesus. He wanted to arrest them. He wanted to put them in jail, and he wanted to destroy the church. We're going to take a look at verses 1 and 2. Saul was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. So really, this isn't just a bad guy. This isn't just a man who wants to arrest people and put them in jail. Saul wants to hurt and kill the people who believe in Jesus. And one day, Saul was on his way to Damascus. Now, for those of you who follow the news, especially in recent years, you know that Damascus is a real place. It's a place that still exists today. Here's a little geography lesson. Damascus is the capital of present-day Syria, which is located between Turkey and Iraq. And so you can understand the climate and the terrain of Saul's journey. Close to 150 miles, all for the purpose of stopping the church from growing. And on his way, he met Jesus. He saw a bright light. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." And when Saul got up from the ground, he couldn't see, but he did what Jesus told him to do. And the men led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days, he could not see. And another man, whom God had also spoken to and had told to go into the city and to meet with Saul, he went and he put his hands on Saul. Scales fell from his eyes, and after 3 days of not seeing, Saul can see again. The significance of this is that Saul was blind, he did what Jesus told him to do, and now he can see. And now that he can see, he spends some time hanging out in Damascus with the disciples. And he realized that everything he knew about Jesus was false. I want to say that part one more time because I think this is really important. Saul realized that everything he knew about Jesus was false. And so he began preaching and sharing the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, if this was a Disney movie or a Hallmark made-for-TV movie, this is where Saul would get his fairy tale ending, live happily ever after, and we would say, the end. But is it the end? No, because the people didn't believe that Saul had changed. The people kept remembering the old Saul, the bad Saul. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever tried to change something about yourself, but people just wouldn't let you? They kept remembering the old you. They kept bringing up your past and just not letting it go. Yeah? Even Dr. Phil, the TV psychotherapist, he tells us that past behavior is the best predictor of future behavior. So we can all understand why the people didn't believe Saul. right? We can all understand why they didn't trust him. But he didn't let their disbelief stop him. He kept sharing the news about Jesus. And here's what happened next, and I'm actually going to read this part because it's really important, and I don't want to get it wrong. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. So at first, even the disciples in Jerusalem aren't so sure about Saul. Even the disciples are afraid of him. They don't believe that he really is who he says he is. But thank goodness for Barnabas. Barnabas was a critical player in Saul's image transformation. Barnabas reminds me of the times when companies will try to get you to buy more of their product, and they'll change the label. You know how they do this? They do new colors, new fonts, and they say, same product, new look. What Barnabas did for Saul was say, same look, new guy. Because of Barnabas, the disciples realized that they could trust Saul. Because the disciples believed in Barnabas, the disciples believed in Saul too. And he continued preaching throughout all of Jerusalem about Jesus. His name changed to Paul. And even today, Paul the Apostle is one of the most important figures in the life of the church since the death of Jesus. Thank God for Barnabas. Thank God that he was such a good friend and encourager to Saul. Don't we all wish we had someone like that in our lives? Can you imagine how your life would be different if you had a friend like that? I can tell you how it changed the life of the church. Because of the relationship between Barnabas and Saul, more people heard about Jesus. More people joined the church, and it grew and grew. It grew in Judea. It grew in Galilee. It grew in Samaria. All because of one relationship between two people. One relationship between two people changed the story of the church forever. And here's what I believe. I believe that the Bible tells us to stick with each other. I believe that the Bible tells us to remain in community with each other, and that relationships can still change the story today. My story, your story, the other person's story, the story of all of us. Everyone needs an encourager. Everyone needs someone who can speak the words that will allow others to see people in a new way. Someone not only who believes in us, but helps others know that they can believe in us too. And so I ask you, who is God calling you to be Barnabas to? Just like the relationship between Barnabas and Saul changed the history of the church, we can change the story today. And if you are that friend, then that is God's power working through you, working through all of us. I believe that over and over in the Bible, through the examples of the life of Jesus, we are shown that we are called to welcome the people that others have said are not welcome. We are called to listen to the people that the others have said are not to be listened to. And that we are called to be in relationship with each other. And that through the story of Barnabas and Saul, we see that God can build up his kingdom through our relationships with each other. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just ask that the words of these scriptures remain in our heart as we go from this place, and that the Holy Spirit will show us the true heart and character of the people around us. And we ask that you use us to be a Barnabas to anyone that you have put us into relationship with, all for the radical transformation of the world. Amen.